sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
I'm the king of rock.
LL Cool J.
I'm the king of rock.
LL Cool J.
I'm the king of rock. I'm the king of rock.
LL Cool J is
hot. There is none higher.
Battle anybody, I don't
there rock. Is none higher.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Beer and Chicken Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Span, and this is actually take motherfucking two of episode 29 of the Beer and Chicken Podcast. Man, I am here with the homeboy, DJ Neff 2, a.k.a. Cliff. He's on the ones and twos. Rock out with your boy.
Stand clear. Done, man, I talk. You can't stand where I stand. You can't walk where I walk. Watch out. We run New York. Policeman come. We bust him off the park. I know this for a fact. You don't like how I act. You claim I'm selling crap. Will you be doing that? I'd rather say see ya, cause I would never be ya. Be a officer, you're wicked overseer. You're hot shot, you wanna get popped and be a savior.
The bridge is over, the bridge is over. Bye-bye. The bridge is over, the bridge is over. Hey, 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 the bridge is over, the bridge is over. Bye-bye. The bridge is over, the bridge is over.
Yes, indeed, y'all. We are back for episode 29. It's the homeboy, Mr. Span, with the homeboy, Cliff, a.k.a. DJ Neff. And it's just the two of us tonight, man. The homeboy, Walt, locked down, put us down tonight, man. It was like, nah, I ain't gonna be there, niggas. So guess what we gonna do? We gotta find the homeboy, DJ Neff, man. Nah, not DJ Neff. I'm fucking up. We gotta find Walt, locked down. Hey, man, fuck you. I'm rusty. Or better yet. Yeah, man.
I do that too now. Don't. I got.
So yeah, man. Yo, Walt, we gotta find you, homie. We gotta find you. You gotta buy everybody who listens to the Beer and Chicken Podcast a T-shirt. Actually, you probably gotta buy like 3 T-shirts, man. We gonna limit it to 3. Walt gotta buy everybody 3 T-shirts. Well, not everybody 3 T-shirts. He gotta buy 3 T-shirts. Good news for Walt though. Good news for Walt is, T-shirts is on sale right now, 30% off at the Span Report Podcast Network store. You could take yourself over there right now. If you don't win the shirt that Walt got to buy, you could take yourself over there right now. Get yourself some merch, man. Go ahead, get you a hoodie, man. It's real cold outside, man. We got a snowstorm coming. It's probably in Chicago right now.
It's raining.
It's raining right now. I heard it's supposed to be like a snowstorm, but like we're supposed to get like 3 to 6 inches here in Detroit, man, like by tomorrow morning. Good thing my ass ain't going to work. But
why?
I got it off, man. I got it off, baby. Come on, man. So yeah, man, go ahead and get yourself some merch, man. There's a sale at the Beer and Chicken at the Spirit Port Podcast Network store, man. Get yourself some Beer and Chicken merch there and get it at a 30% discount, man. Real talk. But Walt, yeah, man, we got to penalize you for this one. Got to find some penalties. There's got to be some rules and regulations and shit.
And it's some repercussions from that bullshit you was talking about last week.
Real talk, man. But before we get into the show, of course, we got to let you guys know how to get in touch with us over here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast and let your voices be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll play them on the show, respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. That's feedback@beerandchickenpod.com. Leave us those emails. We'll read them on the show and respond in kind. You can also hit us up on Twitter. My name on there is Mr_Span. You got the homeboy Cliff on there. He's DJ Neff2 on these Twitter streets. Walk Lockdown is Walt Lockdown on Twitter, man. So go ahead and hit him up. And you go, the show has its own Twitter feed. We got to be more active with that one. We haven't been really using that as much as we really should. I'm going to start using that motherfucker to start talking cash shit, man. And they ain't going to... Just start using the beer chicken joint. Just start talking cash shit. I'm going to hit up Adrian Peterson. Like, man, keep your hands off your motherfucking kids, man. We're going to talk about that shit. We're going to talk about that shit a little bit later. But, what you been up to, man?
Trying to recover, man.
Trying to recover.
Like, the last 4 days been rough on you, boy, man. Like,
rough on you? Rough on you.
Outside of going out to a bar with you and your wife till, 1:30 in the morning drinking.
Nah, man. We left it early because I had to get the Harrods, man. Remember? Remember they were set? Like, check this out. I'm starting to feel like I'm not from Chicago much anymore, man. I'm starting to get that feeling because I'm looking up like, yo, I got to get me some Harold's Half White and a catfish dinner, you know, before we go. Like, we gotta turn in, right? Now check it out though. We hadn't ate. It's like since we went to Loom's Pancake House. We went to Loom's. For anybody who goes to the Chicago area, I'm telling you, Loom's Pancake House, you need to visit. I'm just saying. We went there, but we hadn't ate since, right? So, like, all day we ain't ate, but we out here drinking with this nigga, right?
So, which was voluntary.
I'm just saying, you know, we hadn't ate, but we out here drinking. He take us to this bar, man. Old girl don't know what a Washington apple is, but she gonna show us here, pour me a whole hell of a lot of Crown Royal in my cup. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just drinking straight motherfucking Crown Apple, you know?
For $5.
Drink his Crown straight. So we leave there, man. And I think I went to a bootleg Harold's, bro. Cause that boy said Harold's 55th. Ain't no damn such thing as a Harold's 55th. It's Harold's Chicken Shack, man.
I know it's a
whole bunch of bootleg Harold's, man.
So what has happened within the last couple of years, man? They have some places call them Harold's Chicken Shack. And then some places will put the name of the street they're on. They'll put the number of Harold's that they are. It depends. But guess what? The one that you went to is not the one I would have went to.
I mean, hell, I was trying to get to the first one before they closed, man, because I was on Google. I'm like, oh, shit, these motherfuckers say they close at 12 o'clock. And, like, I'm like, man, these motherfuckers, they still open. So we rolled up in there, and I got me, like, they ain't even, that, you know how I knew it was a bootleg one? Because it didn't even say half white. You know what I'm saying? That shit said catfish. It said breast and catfish combo. I'm like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Did it at least have the chicken on the sign, man?
No, I didn't have the chicken on the sign or nothing. So I knew I went to a bootleg one, right?
Went to low key shark's cousin or something.
I went to somebody, right? Now here's another thing too, man. This is something that has been brought to my attention. And I wanted to talk to a native Chicagoan who's still in the area, man, because I feel so out of the loop, man. What the fuck is Uncle Remus's, man? Because I'm hearing Uncle Remus is better than Harold's.
Okay. So you grew up on the South Side.
I did.
Hey, the South Side.
Which there were no Uncle Remus's because I looked.
You grew up on the South Side.
Right.
The South Side is renowned for Harold's Chicken. I grew up out West. Out West didn't have Harold's Chicken until the late 90s, we had Uncle Remus, right? So there's a huge separation between what the hell is Uncle Remus. Everybody knew about Harold's because there was 1,000 locations.
There's 1,000 of them. That's what I'm saying. And some of them were even bootleg.
Even right now, it's only 2 locations of Uncle Remus that I'll go to. you know.
I heard they got three locations. Somebody hit me up because I posted it on Facebook. Like, I was like, yo, man, like, you know, who comes home to Chicago and don't get the half white catfish, you know, yada, yada, yada. What the fuck is your life about? What's up, Shay? But who does that? And one of my homies, man, the homeboy Mike from the Where's My 40 Acres podcast, he's like, yo, man, I'm hearing Uncle Remus is better than Harold's. And I was like, who?
Let me tell you what they do. Let me tell you what they do. They're known for just mild sauce. All right, they got their own special mild sauce. And I'll say this about Uncle Remus. You can go to any Uncle Remus, and guess what? It's going to taste the same. And that ain't, you can't say the same for Harold's Chicken. The one on 87th is different than the one on 55th. Different than the one on 47th.
Yeah, that one on 55th was kind of whack.
Yeah.
It's kind of whack.
Walt ain't here, Shay. He flaked out because he knew for a fact that on this show I was going to tax that ass tonight on the Beer Chicken Podcast.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, so Uncle Remus, to each his own. Actually, I didn't bring up
this. I brought it up, Shay.
You got so much to talk about. Why don't you just call in? That's all
I'm saying. Shay need to be an unofficial host.
0485, all right? That's all you got to do. But no, man, you know what? Honestly, I mean, I like Uncle Remus and I like Harold's. Guess what? Whoever's closest is where I'm going.
No, I was just curious, man, because I was like, yo, I've never heard of Uncle Remus. I'm from Chicago. How is this a thing that I'm not aware of? That was the shit that kind of like really fucked me up. I'm like, wait a minute. Somebody's like, yeah, man, they say Uncle Remus is better than the people like that told me this was from Chicago. I'm like, nigga, I'm from Chicago. I never heard of that shit.
You never came past, you know, west of, let's see, I know where you lived. If you didn't go past Roosevelt and north.
I wasn't doing none of that. Like,
west of, yeah, exactly.
If, yeah. Yeah,
if you're on Eisenhower, like when you were like 14, you'll never know about.
Yeah, it. Like I wasn't going that far west at all. I think the first Bulls game I ever went to, I might have been 21 years old, bro. Like I was never on the west side for no reason. I had no reason to be over there.
If you'd have went to Central and Madison, you'd have tripped and fell over Uncle Remus. But
yeah, man. So let's see, what was I up to, man? I was in Chicago, y'all. I was in Chicago, sprang up on my people for the, you know, Thanksgiving holiday, man. I never really come home for Thanksgiving, man. Part of it is because my wife was always working on, you know, Black Friday. For all of y'all who really do like that Black Friday Thanksgiving shopping shit, my wife would have to deal with y'all and y'all shit, and she didn't have to this year. So that gave us the opportunity.
Stan,
say what?
Gangsta. For those that don't know her, she again. I hope she watched this show live. You watching Miss Stan?
No, she's not watching right now. I think she's watching like Dirty John or some shit on TV right now. But you know, we was able to kind of surprise family, man. Go out to my cousin's crib for the Thanksgiving holiday, man. It was real good surprise, man. Saw some tears, man. It was like some real Kodak moments happening over there, man. It was real nice, man. Cat got to kick my little cousin's ass on the chessboard, man. That was nice. You know what I'm saying? Chess, man. They was challenging me on the chessboard, and I was giving that work. Man, you don't want it. You don't want it. I'm telling you. I'm a tactical genius, baby. I'm a tactical genius. You don't want this.
With that hat on. That tells me already you're a loser.
Whatever, nigga.
Okay, we'll get into that later.
Whatever.
But go ahead, family.
Yeah, man. Like with family, man. Just, you know, chilling out with that, man. Got a chance to see my granny again, man. You know, it's always good to go see granny. Granny hold a nigga down, man. Granny like, I love you more than you ever know. Like, granny, same. You'll never know how much I love you neither, granny.
Shout out to Granny, man.
But yo, man, it was good, man. Me and the homeboy Cliff got a chance to link up again. We went on the bar crawl somewhat, hit the hole in the wall with the hole in the wall that poured you all the fucking drink, nigga. I was trying not to be fucked up. I'm like, hey, man, I can't get fucked up here, man. I can't do it. Like, I got to drive, B. Like, my job is tied to my license, man. I can't be having these DUI problems in the shy, nigga. Like, the last time I got arrested was in Chicago, nigga. We don't need them problems. You know what I'm saying? We don't need them problems. So, yeah, man.
In all, it was a good time.
Hey, man, you know what? Like, I had that rented Cadillac, right? So check this out, man. And I know we going off on some tangents and shit here, but I had this Cadillac, right? So check this out, man. Say what?
This is some bullshit that's coming, but go ahead.
No, what I'm about to say is this, man. Like, this some shit that, like, you rich motherfuckers, man. Like, I don't know how y'all get used to this shit right here, man. So I'm driving this Cadillac. It got that lane assist shit to keep you in your lane.
Steering wheel.
No. Not only does the steering wheel, like, if you, like, say, for instance, I might not have, like, every now and again, I might not catch myself where I'm about to go into another lane, but I don't hit the blinker. So if I'm drifting to the next lane, or I'm about to go to the next lane, the car will try to steer my ass right on back to the lane I was in if I don't put the damn blinker on. So that shit was throwing me off. Got to overcorrect a couple times because of that shit happening. And the seat vibrates, my nigga. I was like, like, what the fuck is this shit? The seat vibrates, dog. They got some shit on that motherfucker where it cuts off when I'm at the stoplight. That shit felt janky as fuck. Like, why would my car? Why would I do that? Why would my car just cut the fuck off as soon as I take my foot off the brake? Cuts right back on. I'm like, this some shake. This I can't get with it, man. I can't get with it. No, it wasn't a hybrid. It was just a straight up 2018 Cadillac CTS. They say it saved gas, but how much gas are you really saving?
Turn it off and find out.
I turned that shit off. That whole auto cutoff and shit. I turned that shit off. I'm like trying to find the owner's manual. Like, how the fuck do I? This some bullshit. Although I did, it was a pleasure to drive outside of that though.
You'll I mean, I know you'll get one. So you're just
when I grow up, man. When I grow up like Cliff, I'm gonna give me a Cadillac. I'm gonna give me a caddy. Maybe a Lincoln Continental if Ford's still making them bitches. I don't want an Impala, man. One of my partners got an Impala. I don't want it. I don't want nothing my homies got already.
Fuck you, Shay.
Okay. Cliff has a tree in his house. He do. That nigga got a ficus.
This is a beard.
Okay, man. Let's get to some sports, man. We're going on for a minute talking some crazy shit. Yo, let's get to these sports, man.
Minutes later.
I know, right? I know niggas like, yo, man, we 17 minutes into the show. These niggas ain't said a goddamn thing about sports.
We're talking about.
Oh, man. So what you got, man? What you got for us this week?
Okay. What do I have? So, you know, one thing that we always talk about in the show, we're kind of seasonal. When it's basketball season, we talk about basketball. When it's football season. So I don't know if there are any avid golfers, you know, that watch the show, but I like golf.
Do you?
I've slipping on my pimping the last maybe year and a half, 2 years, because you need time to golf. But
you need money to golf too. You know, that ain't no broke man sport there, golf.
Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods actually, they didn't decide. they were asked to...
it's a rich man's game.
They asked them if they wanted to play against each other. Just a one-on-one match.
$14 million was the pot, wasn't it?
After tax, title, and registration, walked away with $9 million. But... the thing is, I thought it was kind of phony, because Tiger ain't winning shit. Phil, he ain't been winning shit. So they take the two most popular non-winning shitting motherfuckers out there to play against one another because they're heavily liked, right? Mm-hmm. So here's an article in ESPN. It says how Tiger and Phil missed the mark over and over. That's the title. That's the fucking title. It says, in Las Vegas, an obscene amount of money, a pay-per-view offering and a showdown between a couple of aging golf stars drew plenty of interest in the lead-up to match on Friday at Shadow Creek. No matter where you stood on the long-discussed winner-take-all $9 million encounter between Tiger and Phil, excellent golf will be necessary to carry the concept, and exciting back-and-forth eagles and birdies with longtime legendary rivals outdoing each other. Certainly not to the degree that was hoped for or needed. I'm going to say that one more time. Certainly not to the degree that was hoped for or needed. Mickelson prevailed in the darkness on a makeshift hole, played three times, finally converting a four-putt to win. It was a bit bizarre at the end. just enough of them. The five-time major champion who desperately and jokingly wanted to prevail to hold some measure on gloating over his longtime nemesis won four holes in regulation. Three when Woods made a bogey. I didn't watch the event on ESPN. I saw the replays, and if this was the Masters or, you know, whatever, the BMW Championship, if they would have played in any of these, you know, big time tournaments like they did against one another, they wouldn't even have made the cut. I don't know if you've seen any of this, Twan, but it's like Mike playing against, I don't know, Kobe, you know, in their own sport. But it wasn't a great match. You know, I think this was more about to talk shit against one another because they're friends and they go back a long ways. And if you ask me, if I'd have put my money on anybody, it'd probably been Phil, because Tiger, he still claims that his back hurts. He still claims
his back may still be hurting, man.
What'd you say?
I said his back may really be bothering him, though.
I get that. But the thing is, why would pay-per-view back somebody who is still having back problems?
Because it's Tiger fucking Woods, man. Like, you understand what this is, bro. Like, you already said it when you began the story. Like, you were talking about, like, they're doing this because they're two of the most well-liked golfers, like, in the game. And I get it. They're big names. And to a certain degree, like, you have an event like this. Sure, they're not winning tournaments, but you have an event like this. Who's to say this doesn't start, start a thing in golf where, like, hey, some of the top players start having, like, you know, face-off matches like this for big pots of money, and people watch these the way they do fucking boxing matches. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes,
that could be a thing. Like, they could be spearheading a whole other revenue stream for golfers. You know what I'm saying? Like, not that, you know, golfers really, like, wanting for money and shit. But but I'm just saying, like, this is a creative way for them to create some more revenue for the game and get people excited about some of the more exciting players. Maybe some of the younger players to start taking on doing this. Like, Jordan Spieth is one of those players I think that, you know, folks will really, like, kind of like. I'm not going to even act like I'm real versed as to who all the top golfers are anymore, because, like, I haven't really paid a hell of a lot of attention to golf in a long fucking time. Well,
it's a lot of dudes out there,
man. I'm sure there is. And Tiger Woods ain't won shit since, you know, his wife caught him, like, fucking around. You know what I'm saying? But that was a long time ago, if you think about it. That was, like, 6 or 7 years ago at this point. He still hasn't won. I don't think he's won a major since then. He hasn't been right since then. So a lot of other players have become a little bit more marketable, have become a bit more, dominant in the game. Nobody's really scared to play against Tiger Woods anymore. Like, that whole thing is done, is dead. I don't think he's going to ever hit, what was that, Jack Nicholson's record of the amount of majors, or the record for, you know, the amount of majors won or whatever. I don't think he's going to hit that because of this streak. Or these years of him being, like, not the dominant Tiger Woods that we're used to knowing or used to seeing. So I think this is just another way for them to generate buzz for the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, because truth be told, I haven't gave a fuck about golf in quite some time. As a matter of fact, growing up, I really didn't know shit about golf. I didn't give a damn about golf until I learned how to play golf on the video game. And then when I learned how to play golf on the video game, then I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. But I'm not about to watch that shit.
I like golf. All right.
That's because you're a rich man. It's a rich man's game.
It's a great location. See, y'all. I get it. You know, I'm here today. I wasn't here last week because I wasn't well. But I'm here. If it was me, hey, Tiger, if you ever watched the Benching a podcast, do me a favor, man. Look, go back out here, get you another lineup of chicks, because when you was knocking them down, you was killing. Just go back to your own ways.
Oh, my God.
You were fantastic, and you was happy. for more than one means. But at the end of the day, man, I know for a fact that this event was to spark, you know, a new purpose for the game, and maybe to interest, you know, people to see a one-on-one match that they always wanted to see before. I mean, Think about it, like, you know, right now, if we were able to have a game of, you know, 32 between Kobe and LeBron, and it would be on pay-per-view, people would pay to watch that, like, for real. You know, and that's even though LeBron is at and is clearly at his peak, I think Kobe might be able to.
I don't know if LeBron's at his peak anymore. He's on the down. He was on the downward trend.
Oh, okay. But it's just the fact that to see two, you know, monsters battle each other, people would pay to see that. And so I appreciate them two getting together. I don't agree with the pot. That's definitely what I don't agree with. They don't deserve to play an hour and make $9 million. Fuck both of y'all. You know,
it's golf, you know, man. It's golf.
Sometimes the pot is not no $9 million, dog. For real.
Hey, sometimes it's not, but think about who we're talking about. And I think the reason why the pot was as big as it was, I mean, think about how, like, we look at boxing. Like, nigga, why, like, how the fucking, like, you look at Floyd Mayweather making $100 million a match. You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of that comes from the pay-per-view revenue and everything else. But at the same time, it's like, y'all really paying to see this shit? Like, you know what the end result is going to be. He playing, they setting up tomato cans for this nigga. Like, what are we doing? So what the fuck are we doing here, man? So, like, I get that, like, I think a lot of times the size of the pot gets folks a lot more interested in actually participating and watching and paying to see, because they're like, hey, that's a large sum of money. We got to see who's going to get that. Like, I think that those numbers, those big numbers, are what get eyeballs on the fucking, on the event. Like, nobody would have gave a damn if they was paying for $30,000.
Here's the thing, dog. People who don't watch golf, if they don't know the rules of the game, the rules of the game, I don't know. I can't watch a soccer game. All I know is that you got to kick a ball in the net. I don't know what a red or a yellow flag means. I don't even know why they would throw that flag. But guess what? I don't watch it, and they get paid $100 million all day.
Bruh, you know how many motherfuckers was watching golf and didn't give a fuck about the game, but they was watching because Tiger was playing, nigga? Come on, man. Come on, bruh. But niggas don't know nothing about what a birdie is, but they're like, hey, that nigga Tiger playing, right? I got to watch. You know what I'm saying? Tiger brought eyeballs to the game, and so this is just another way for them to bring eyeballs to the game. Truth be told, like, I didn't even watch this shit, but I would be kind of interested in seeing, like, you know, like, it's almost like I'm not interested in seeing, like a full-blown tournament where they paying 4 fucking days, and it's a whole bunch of niggas that I don't give a damn about, don't even know what, he's from, like, Finland or some shit like that, I don't even care, like, come on, man, who is this nigga, why are we watching him, like, real talk, I wouldn't mind if it'd be like, yo, Jordan Spieth and Tiger Woods, or Phil Mickelson and, like, Vijay Singh or some shit like that. Like, I don't even fuck. I just pulled that name out of my ass. I remember Vijay Singh used to be, like, the one dude I thought was black. He wasn't black, but he looked black. He was golfing. But, yeah, man, I wouldn't mind actually, like, seeing more of this, man. I think this could actually be good for the game of golf, man. Bring more eyeballs to the sport.
Well, maybe you should try playing golf since your basketball game mutton is efficient. This might be good. And I'm just no, don't look at me. That shit don't work right now, okay?
Nigga, please. Fuck wrong with you.
That's what I had, man. What you got, man?
Oh, man. So I'm actually going to switch my shit up. And I'm going to talk about the shit that Walt was supposed to talk about.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
Because, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. No need to be sad, Stan.
Shit.
Fuck y'all. That's why.
Oh, man. Hey.
So check this out, man. As you guys know,
it was like this. They filleted y'all. The worst loss in Michigan history. The worst loss in Big Ten history.
You need to shut the fuck up when grown folks is talking.
Woo!
So yeah, man.
I'll wait till you finish.
Yeah. So I didn't actually get a chance to watch this game. I was on the highway, man, on my way back home from Chicago. Turned the game on in the car. And at the time, Michigan was down what was it? They were down 24-19. 24-19. And I'm on the highway. I'm on I-94. And Michigan has to punt the ball. Ohio State blocks the punt. Takes that bitch in for a touchdown.
Walked it in.
I cut that motherfucking game right back off. There was no way in hell I was going to be driving home to Detroit with that shit on all day, the whole ride. And Michigan is getting fucking demolished in Columbus. Now, one thing about me being a fan about any damn team I'm a fan of, I could recognize, man, when like, yo, we are like, we got our ass whooped, man. Hey, man, put that bullshit down. Put that bullshit down.
I love this show.
Yeah.
Love this episode.
So check this out, man. I think as a Michigan fan, I'm going to just say this, man. And I know Walt probably would have had a whole hell of a lot to say about this, but, you know, he ain't here. But I'm going to say this as a realistic fan. This ain't the game anymore. They build this as the game. Like, Ohio State versus Michigan is supposed to be the biggest rivalry game in college football. It hasn't been that for a long time. We've lost to Ohio State now 7 years in a fucking row. It is not the game anymore. I don't even know if you can call this shit a rivalry anymore. A rivalry means somebody gonna lose occasionally, right? Ohio State ain't lost occasionally to our ass in a long motherfucking time. And that shit is getting played, bruh. It's getting played, man. I'm so sick and tired of fucking Michigan losing to the fuck eyes. I don't know what to do. I really don't. Like, I wake up, man, I'm like, man, like, all they need to do is run the ball, play good defense, man. They got this. In a year where Ohio State got thrashed by fucking Purdue, in a year where Urban Meyer is supposed to be, like, damn near on the way out, like, he got fucking scandals going on with him keeping, like, women beaters on his staff and shit and acting like he ain't know nothing about it, all sorts of shit going on with that football team. They getting beat down by fucking the Purdues of the world. And here you got Michigan who's rolling through everybody. They talking about the revenge tour. They talking about, we going to get back at Penn State. We going to get back at Michigan State. We going to get back at Ohio State. Like, they made T-shirts of this shit and everything. And I'm going to just say this, man. You need to put the fuck up or shut the fuck up. Put it up, man. Like, I'm a little sick and tired of, and I'm like, as a Michigan fan, man, I'm a little sick and tired of the whole thing. Like, we Michigan. So, like, there's a thing about Michigan football that at this point isn't even fucking deserved. Michigan football acts as if everybody remembers that they won the national championship in 1997. That shit don't mean nothing to nobody no more. But Michigan operates as if everybody's supposed to give a damn that, hey, we won a national championship in 97. Nigga, that was 21 years ago. These kids don't know nothing about that shit. Nothing. And they continue to go out and they lay eggs, man. Michigan State was whooping their ass at one point in time. Michigan State, the team that they used to call Little Brother, was whooping their ass on a regular basis. Ohio State has been whooping Michigan's ass on a regular basis. I kind of feel like how Ohio State used to feel when John Cooper was their coach and Michigan was whooping their ass for 13 years. It's totally flipped. Totally fucking flipped. And as a Michigan fan, I'm sick and tired of watching these motherfuckers like lose the big games. You can't fucking keep saying we're Michigan and think that's supposed to mean anything anymore. Some of the biggest recruits in the state of Michigan don't even commit to Michigan anymore. Some of their asses go right down to the border and go to fucking Ohio State. Some of them go to Michigan State. None of their asses go to Illinois, I'm just saying. But at the same... but
don't come here.
Or Northwestern. They don't go to Northwestern either. But at the same time, man, I'm at a point, man, with my Michigan fandom where I'm a realist, bruh. And at this point in time, man, like, Michigan, even with Harbaugh being here, hey, man, the names don't mean nothing. All the talk before the games don't mean nothing. Guaranteeing victories don't mean shit. You got to put the fuck up or shut the fuck up. And at this point, the Jordan endorsement, y'all wearing Jordan clothes and Jordan shoes and all that shit, it don't mean a fucking thing, man. Y'all been getting your ass handed to you by the fuck eyes for 7 years straight. 7 years straight. It ain't the game no more. It's just a game that Ohio State pretty much got pegged on their ass. What you got, man?
So far, the beer and chicken podcast meeting, along with your respectful donation, you sent Juan a box of tissues, crying.
I'm glad nobody can hear your punk ass, because you going in and out. Nobody hears none of that bullshit you saying right now.
Hello.
Now we can hear you.
Okay, I don't know what that was.
We don't either, but we know it was some bullshit coming out your mouth.
I was telling everybody to make sure that they, along with their generous donations to the show, to send you a box of tissue for crying for the last 10 minutes. I pulled some information up on the game. Michigan and Ohio State have been playing since 1897. Long time.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. They haven't won a game in 7 years. I think that one of the main reasons why this game is so important, I'm not going to say important because I don't care who wins as long as Michigan loses. Well, that's redundant. I want Ohio State to win, and that's all. So Michigan and Ohio State have one of the largest student bodies in the United States. All right. Their football programs both are probably in the top 20. All right.
Easily. Both of them, top what? 10 programs, are, like historically, top 10 programs, easy.
Exactly. The fact that they have Jim Harbaugh, I think there was a lot of speculation behind him coming and turning the school around. And he was close last year. I'll give him that much. He was close. cut it. But this game will always be huge. I really wasn't in tune with the rivalry, I'm going to say, maybe until about like 04 when I was in Nashville. My doctor, he graduated from Michigan, and he told me that he flies to the game every year, and I didn't know it was that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But TV, the sponsors, marketing, advertising, how much money the schools get. This is always going to be a huge game. I don't care if Michigan never wins a game again.
No, here's the thing. If Michigan never wins a game again, nobody's going to give a fuck. Like, let's keep that a buck. If Michigan never wins another game in this particular rivalry, nobody's going to care as much as they do. They're just not.
I disagree. I'll say that because...
You say that as someone who just became aware of the rivalry in 2004. I'm saying, okay, if Michigan doesn't win ever again, nobody's going to give a fuck about this game anymore.
Okay, so all that to say is Michigan has a very strong fan base, okay? And I'm not going to say it's as strong as the Chicago Cubs, but the Cubs didn't win for a long time. Guess what? People still watch them because they like the team. They were fans of the team. I think Michigan has the same type of foundation where people, even though they might not beat Ohio State, but they have a fantastic winning record for the year. So as far as this particular game, I don't think you're going to lose too many viewers just because you guys don't beat Ohio State.
Okay, so check this out, Cliff. Let me educate you a little bit about... No, I am, but I'm going to educate you a little bit. Because when it comes to football here in Michigan, for the University of Michigan and Michigan fans, like, a lot of the other games... Those are the games that people don't give a fuck about. Like, if Michigan beats Northwestern, like, we were supposed to beat them. What the fuck? If Michigan beats, like, Indiana, we were supposed to beat them. What the fuck? The only games that Michigan is supposed to win and people really put, like, stock and, like, you know, like, any sort of real feeling into is that game against Michigan State because it's an in-state rival and that Ohio State game. Those are the two games that if you're the head coach of the University of Michigan, you got to win those two games. And Brady Hoke found himself on the outs when he got swept by Jim Tressel in that big game. Jim Harbaugh, to a certain degree, has been seen as a failure as a coach here in Michigan because he's had so much trouble winning those games against those two schools, Michigan State and Ohio State. I think his record is like 1-6 between those two schools. Those are the two games that mean the most to Michigan fans. And if he's consistently losing those games, as great of a coach as Jim Harbaugh is, he could also find himself on a hot seat or on his ass on the way out because people are getting tired of them losing to Michigan State and Ohio State. Yeah, they beat Michigan State this year. Yeah, they beat Penn State this year. But they were supposed, in a year like this year, where Michigan was, 10-1, they opened the season with a loss to Notre Dame, and then they ran the table. They were supposed to beat Ohio State this year. They were favored to win that game by 4 points. They were favored to win that game. To get blown the fuck out the way that they did speaks volumes as to where this program is. Because truth be told, I think Michigan has been, and even as a fan, I think Michigan has been a little bit overrated the last couple years. I don't think Michigan is really that good. I don't think we're as good as we have been ranked to be or as we've been projected to be. I don't think we've been that good. I think even the teams that we've beaten this year, like Michigan State, they're having a down fucking season. We were supposed to beat them. Like Penn State, they're not as good as they were last year. We were supposed to beat them. We were supposed to beat Ohio State this year. Those teams were teams that were all having down seasons. And Michigan took advantage of those teams having down years. But they weren't able to take advantage of Ohio State. And Ohio State beat the brakes off their ass yesterday. Beat the fucking brakes off of them. And I think a lot of it is not only like Michigan being overestimated as a good team, but that whole Michigan attitude that a lot of fans of Michigan and a lot of the players took on, like, yo, we're supposed to win these games. We're Michigan. It don't mean a motherfucking thing if you don't do what you're supposed to do on the field.
Well, when they lost, this was really not directed towards you. I was really waiting for Walt because I know he would have needed some wet wipes. But, oh, man, this is just fantastic. It was a great win for Ohio State.
Man, fuck you. You don't even like Ohio State. That's another thing, too. Your ass don't even like Ohio State.
That's the point.
Nigga, please.
Whatever. Once again, trust me.
They filleted
y'all ass.
Fuck out of here.
No, I mean, listen, man, that was embarrassing. That's embarrassing. When you have the worst loss in school history to the biggest rivalry in school history, the worst loss in Big Ten history.
And that was a game where you win that game, you playing for the Big Ten championship. And that's
guarantee Ohio State the Big Ten.
No. No, what I'm saying is if Michigan wins that game, they're playing for the Big Ten championship because they'd have to play against Northwestern. They'd have beat Northwestern. They already beat Northwestern. They would have beat Northwestern. Yep. So they're essentially playing for the Big Ten championship. That Big Ten championship game solidifies whether or not they go to the college football playoff or not. All that shit is nothing now. Now you're sitting around waiting on whether or not you're going to get a call to play in a New Year's Day bowl when you should have took care of business when you had the opportunity right there in front of you. Michigan did a whole lot of shit talking this year, man, like that whole revenge tour shit, making T-shirts up. Their running back, Hegden, was out here talking about, I'm guaranteeing a win against Ohio State. Like, nigga, y'all have shown no fucking inkling to say, like, you don't have the track record to be out here putting out guarantees, dog. You don't have that. And to get your ass smashed like that? Yeah, man. I'm a little sick and tired of, like, this whole losing to the fuck eyes, man. I'm tired of it, bro. As a Michigan fan, I am fucking fed the fuck up. I am fed the fuck up. I'm glad I don't spend money to go actually see these niggas play. Because I'd be highly upset if I was, like, a season ticket holder or some shit. I'll be hot. But nigga, give me my money back, man. Give me all of my money back. That's some bullshit. But yeah, man. It ain't the game no more, man. Michigan got to do something. Now, the question, and I think that I'm going to put this as a poll on the show tonight, man, is whether or not folks think that Jim Harbaugh is on his way out after this loss. Do you think this man is on his way out? Do you think he, like, get fired? Do you think Michigan still loves this nigga's dirty draws? Or will he sign with an NFL team before Michigan kicks his ass out? Because his name has been attached to a few NFL openings for the last few years.
I think it's, I'm only saying this because I'm not a Michigan fan. I think it's a little premature to start talking about his exit. Even though he's lost, I see what you're saying, to Ohio State, Michigan State. I get that. But I also say this. Excluding the rivalry games, Michigan does pretty good. I mean, overall. And even though these games are truly going to be the determination to whether the fact they make it to the playoffs, I think he has done good. And I mean, I'm not the biggest college football following dude on the planet, but I do believe that he's not getting like the top tier football players like the Alabamas and the Clemsons and all them. They're not getting them dudes. You know, so for what he has and what type of, you know, scale of athleticism that he's getting, he's doing better than Lovey. Lovey sucks so bad U of I, it's not even funny. Like, he sucks so bad. I mean, you know, so it's whatever, man. But I think he's doing all right, man. I mean, to start talking about whether or not Michigan is going to fire him right now, it might be a little – I think they're going to give him another year, you know. How long? He's been there for what, 3 years now? 4 years?
It's been 4 years now.
4 years, yeah. So I think they give him one more year, man. I mean, he's a stand up dude, and it's not like, you know, he's not emotionally, you know, in the game or something like that. The dude just ain't showing up for work, you know. That's just, you know, summarizes all that shit. But yeah, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he might. Yeah. I'm not saying they're gonna fire the dude. I think they have way too much invested in Jim Harbaugh right now. When Jim Harbaugh got hired at Michigan, Jim Harbaugh was seen as a savior of that program when he came back here. They offered that dude a shit ton of money to coach here. They offered that dude pretty much carte blanche as to what he wanted to do. He's been doing a whole lot of unorthodox shit, like taking him over to Italy, and like, he's having satellite camps down south and shit. Like, he's doing a whole lot of extra shit. But at the end of the day, man, here in Michigan, you got to beat Michigan State and you got to beat Ohio State. That's what you're judged by here. Like, and if you consistently are losing to them, it's a problem. And like, he hasn't shown an ability to consistently win those big games. That's been his Achilles heel. His inability to win those big games has been what's been the undoing of Jim Harbaugh since he's been at Michigan. And some would say even when he was in the NFL, he was having trouble winning the big game. So, we'll see, but that's one of the poll questions that we got up on the website, man.
Well, it seems like the entire state of Michigan just sucks because the Lions suck.
I'm glad, man, that you finally got something to root for with the Bears and like and the Cubs, man. I'm glad you finally got something to root for because for the longest time, nigga, like the Cubs and the Bears both suck balls, nigga. Like, I'm glad you finally got something to root for. Like, real talk. Yes, that's true. Yes, that's true.
At all. Okay. The Bears been going. Matter of fact, talking about Lovie Smith, when the Bears had Lovie, they went to the playoffs 7 years straight.
And what did they do?
Detroit ain't do that.
That's fine. That's fine when you gonna. It ain't like you, dude. When you at home around the same time we are, it don't mean shit. It don't mean shit, man. I don't know, nobody give a fuck about your wild card berth, nigga. Like, if you at the crib, it's like, nigga, nobody give a fuck about your wild card berth, nigga. You at the crib a week later, nigga. What the fuck is wrong with you? It's time for us to wing it, man. We got to get the fuck up out of here. It's time for us to wing it.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
What you winging it on tonight, man?
You know, I'm gonna I this week, but I forgot something really important. I hear echo.
Do you?
Just a little bit. But, I had something I really wanted to speak on last week when I wasn't able to make the show. For those that watch ESPN, this was slammed on social media. In Massachusetts, there was a school called Fitchburg State. Division III, they played a school called Nichols College. The guard named Keyline Platt, if you Google him, you're going to see this video. There was a kid in the corner, 3-point, wide open. He shoots the three. When he shoots the three, the kid, Kiwan, looks like at the shot. He looks at the shot, get released. And when the shot basically goes in, he was close enough to turn around, look at the shot, and when he turned back around, he elbowed this dude. I mean, he floored this kid, man, in the face. Did you see this?
No.
He floored this kid, man. I'm talking about it is when they say that's not basketball or whatever sport you're playing, because it's so it's disrespectful to the game. You know, that shows the type of person you are. You know, the kid was still, he had just came down shooting the shot. So he didn't even have the ability to expect that this dude was going to elbow him in the face. And he wasn't able to, like, prepare for it, even if he saw it coming. And thankfully, I'm going to just read this to you real quick. The kid, he was removed from the team and campus. He was suspended indefinitely. And they're determining right now if they're going to move forward. Actually, Fitchburg, which is the school that he plays for, they are determining whether or not that they are going to take, you know, any further action, maybe, you know, criminally. But you know what? I know this is past my 2 minutes, but I just got to say, man, like, for the kids that are playing whatever sport, man, you know, that right there, man, that's how people on the street get shot. You know, I know that's what happens here, unfortunately, but situations like that is where somebody gonna come and find you, man. And that's not cool, because it's never called for, but that's totally uncalled for. So, you know, that's my wing it, man. And everybody, shout out to myself getting that wing it shirt.
Right, this man finally got himself some beer and chicken shit.
No finally shit, man, okay? Don't give me no shit.
Hey, the show started in January, y'all. Here we are in November. The homeboy Cliff finally got his beer chicken gear, man.
I up for it. I ain't got money like you.
Oh, nigga, you can catch a sale like I catch a sales. All right, man. All right. But, yo, man, I'm about to wing it on some shit. Adrian Peterson, man.
Oh, God.
What the fuck, man? What's wrong with this nigga, man? What's wrong with this nigga, man?
Nigga, please.
So, Adrian Peterson is, he in the news again for whooping on his kids again. I'm going to read a little bit from this story, man. This comes out of Pro Football Talk. It says, in 2014, Adrian Peterson was charged with felony child abuse, entered a plea deal to misdemeanor reckless assault, and was suspended from the NFL for beating his son. In a shocking new interview, Peterson has admitted that he still hits his son with a belt. I had to discipline my son and spank him the other day with a belt, Peterson told Master Testafian of the Bleacher Report. Peterson is no longer on probation for the previous abuse case, but his public admission could draw scrutiny from legal authorities. Different states have different laws about parents physically disciplining their children, and it's unclear from the Bleacher Report article where the incident with the belt took place. Regardless of any issues, Peterson can now also face discipline from the NFL, which made clear that when Peterson was suspended in 2014, that his reinstatement was dependent upon his agreeing to go through counseling and be a better father to his children. The timing of your potential reinstatement will be based on the results of the counseling and treatment program set forth in this decision, the league told Peterson in the 2014 letter. Under the two-step approach, the precise length of the suspension will depend on your actions. We are prepared to put in place a program that can help you succeed, but no program can succeed without your genuine and continuing engagement. You must commit yourself to your counseling and rehabilitative effort, properly care for your children, and have no further violations of law or league policy. Now, one of the things about this particular thing is I'm not sure I'm really comfortable with your employer telling you what to do and how to raise your kids. Right? I'm not comfortable with that at all. However, you can't be out here publicly admitting to beating your kids again after you were already like put on fucking probation for that very same fucking thing, man. Keep in mind, Adrian Peterson is a pretty big dude, man. Pretty big dude. When they last saw him, when he last had his incident while whooping his kids, man, his kids had welts all over their damn legs and shit, all on his scrotum and shit. Like, he hit the little boy in the nuts with a switch. He had cuts all over his nuts, cuts all over his legs and everything. His daddy ain't got the sense enough to be like, hey, man, I'm a little too strong for this. Maybe I don't need to be doing this way. Maybe I can try to figure out another way to get some act right out of this kid. Maybe I could take some shit from him. Maybe he got a little Nintendo Switch. I could take the Nintendo Switch from him. Maybe I could keep his ass in his room. He on punishment. He ain't got no games. He ain't got no lamb like toys or nothing. Something to get some act right out of this kid. At a certain point, man, we got to stop acting like the way that we were brought up. Like, everybody kind of romanticizes that shit. Like, well, I got my ass beaten. I was all right. Like, sometimes, nigga, no, you ain't. It's a whole lot of niggas that's locked up that got their asses whooped, too. My brother was one of them. This whole shit about whooping your kids with belts, like, that shit's played, man. Find another motherfucking way or stop having kids. Find another fucking way. Find another way. You can turn your face up all you fucking want, dog.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about what Shay, that's that running and moving around while getting your butt.
Nah. Stop taking a switch to your kids, man. And not only that, that kid had cuts on his scrotum. You don't get cuts on your scrotum unless, of course, you ain't got on no fucking clothes or barely any clothes at all. He was whooping that kid butt naked with a switch.
Yeah.
And this dude is what, 6'2", 240 fucking pounds. You can't find another fucking way to discipline a kid at that size. Like, come on, man. Come on, man. Nah. Adrian Peterson, dude, like, sit your ass down somewhere. Like, for real. Somebody needs to sit his dumb ass in the corner some motherfucking way. Real talk. Put a fucking dunce cap on it. You know what my mama used to do to discipline us, man, sometimes? I'll never forget this shit. She had us stand in a hallway. We stood in the hallway all day with our nose to the wall. And what we did after that, we try to go to the bathroom and rest our legs. Like, get your ass out of there. Come stand back on this wall. You ain't shitting that long. That's what she did. She didn't hit us. Well, she did hit us, but like, this is afterwards. But you got to find other ways, man. Like, we can't keep romanticizing and keep doing going back the same way we used to do shit. This shit is played, man. Adrian Peterson, sit your dumb ass down. And I'm getting that fucking echo again. I don't know if it's because Clifton did something with his recorder or whatever. But we about to get on up out of here. Cliff on the ones and twos. Take us out of here, man.